Hi, this is Pastor Chuck Allen, and you made it. It's Friday, so thanks so much for joining me for another Sugar Hill Church weekday podcast. Fridays are those days where you got a little pep in your step, and you know you got a weekend ahead, and I also trust that you're planning to join us Sunday for worship at Sugar Hill Church. I know there's much going on. It's Labor Day weekend, et cetera, but make sure you join us. If you can't be there live, make sure you join us on a live stream at 9:30 or 11 at live.sugarhill.church. You can also watch it live on Facebook. Just go to the Sugar Hill Church page. You can watch it live on Facebook as well. So wherever you are this weekend, be sure to join us. And today, we want to ask a question. What is it that you're actually expecting? What do you expect? In Acts chapter 2, beginning of verse 42, here's what the scripture says. All the believers devoted themselves to teaching and fellowship and sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and a prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place, and they shared everything they had. They sold their property, they sold their property and their possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper. They shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Now watch this. They devoted themselves to the teaching and the fellowship. Now what would that have been? Think about it. These were the people who started the first church, who were commissioned by Jesus himself and equipped by Jesus himself to do what? To teach and to fellowship. Oh, and look what else they did. Normal things like to break bread and prayer. But that breaking bread and prayer is more than just, hey, let's grab a burger. It was the remembrance of the breaking of his body and the shedding of his blood. But that fellowship that bonded them in all of that, everyone was filled with awe. Now, if you're wondering, we don't use that a lot, but I remember the time we used it a lot was when the U.S. was invading Iraq. And I can remember being up in the middle of the night watching as the offensive that we had started began, and the people on the news kept referring to it as shock and awe. You know, awe is one of those things where you just look at it and think, oh my stars, I can't wrap my head around it. People were filled with awe. And there were many, many wonders and miraculous signs that were done in their presence. All the people who chose to claim Jesus as Savior were together and had everything in common. In other words, their ground base, their safe place was all built on this one thought that we are in this together. And in the midst of that, they broke bread in their homes, they ate together, and they were glad and they were sincere in their heart, which allowed them all to praise God and enjoy the favor of all people. And the Lord added to them day by day. Well, now watch this. You know, for that to happen, it starts with this one thought. God, I am so in awe at what you've done for me and what you're yet to do. Meaning, I want to come to you in prayer because I know I can do all things through you. I know you can do all things through me. And in doing so, I want to serve other people. I want to gather in fellowship. I want to break bread with people, and I want to serve people in need. Here's a couple thoughts for the day. What part of this description of the first century church bugs you the most? Is it the devotion part where we were all in? Or what about, is it the selling possessions and goods and then giving to someone in need? Was that, you know, Chuck, is this biblical socialism? No, because it wasn't mandated by anybody. It was done out of love, out of graciousness, out of kindness. Yeah, well, Chuck, how about going to church every day? Come on, do we really need to do that? You know, I think what we need to do is have a willingness to find God and spend time with God every day, and I believe that's the heartbeat of what they were experiencing. Oh, then there's having people over for dinner and going to other people's homes. I mean, come on, Chuck, when are we going to get caught up on reruns of Rizzoli and Isles? I mean, seriously, guys, this is what it looked like. People were enjoying life together, and they were doing it with a glad and a sincere heart. Which of these would be the hardest for you today? Why would it be that hard? And your answer, I promise you, is going to reveal a lot about you and how you see God's church. You see, to a large degree, our priorities, those things that really are most important to us, are defined by our expectations. You know what? I think what happens is we forget that the expectation we're to have is that we're going to experience God, not just be patted on the head and scratched under our chin when we come to be a part of a faith and a family of faith. I saw a movie some time back about a woman who thought she only had a month to live. She quit her job. She liquidated her retirement account. She went traveling. Those were her priorities. Listen, the first century church thought Jesus' return was imminent. They were living as if it could happen any day at any minute. How would your life be different today if you thought Jesus was coming back after lunch today? How would you change if you knew he was coming back next month on the 2nd? How would your priorities change based upon your expectations? How would you reorder your priorities? Today, I want to offer to you, why don't we just stop and reset our priority on this Friday to expect that God is with us, God is for us, God is empowering us, and God can't wait to use us to do great and mighty things. Go live in that power with shock and awe, my friend. I'll see you Sunday. God bless you.